We're so thankful to be able to come back again on this second lesson on binding of Satan. And I trust that it is being a blessing to you. I'm thankful that the Lord sent me over here with a message, not a sermon just to fill up religious time, but a message for God's people. And I feel like that's what the Lord's doing in these messages on the Revelation, is helping you in this end time. What I believe we're in the little season. I believe the gospel has had its course in the world, and Satan is being loosed, and God's people need to be fed. Isaiah 28, verses 20 and 21, come into thy chambers while the Lord comes out to judge. And I think we're abiding in the little chambers, spiritually speaking, and God is nourishing us and feeding us with a word of truth for this particular hour. I mentioned that printed message in the first message on binding of Satan, and I couldn't get the title right. And Brother Bobby Quick told me the title of it during the break. He said it's called The Woman and the Dragon. And that's right. I remember now. It's a booklet that we wrote. Many booklets around here. Got two, Satan's Hour, Part 1 and Part 2. This is Your Hour and the Power of Darkness. Luke 22:53, and if you want any of these booklets in print, free of charge, we pay the postage, we give you the book. We're just trying to help you walk with God. Grace Baptist Church, P.O. Box 2830, McDonough, Georgia, 30253. P.O. Box 2830, McDonough, McDonough, Georgia, 30253. Whatever we have that will be of any use to you, we will be glad to try to see that you get it. All right, we're looking at Revelation chapter 20, and it starts off, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, we wanted to see who the devil was. We saw the scriptures that God gave and made us understand exactly who this being was. He was an archangel, and therefore he became the devil by sin and the sin of pride raising up in his heart and actually trying to usurp authority over the person of the Son of God. I will be like the Most High. I'm going to be the physical being that's in existence physically that represents the Most High. So that will take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that he is the devil. He is Satan, that old serpent. And we said that God has bound him, and he's bound him for a limited amount of time. 1,000 years, not 999 plus one, but the glorious age of the church. And then he loses him for a season. How long is it? A little season. And we understand and see that even though while he was bound, 1 Peter 5:8 said, Satan walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And in Luke 22 and verse 31, the Lord said unto Simon Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So the devil was active, but from a viewpoint of being in prison, bound up only not to deceive the nations. He couldn't deceive the world like he did prior to this. Some of these crime bosses that were put in prison ran their crime from the prison itself. Being in prison does not hinder Satan from doing these things, desiring to sift you as wheat, Luke 22:31, and walking about seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. But he was bound according to what God said he was, that he should not deceive the nations anymore. Now, who is the angel? Well, we find that he's the one come down from heaven. What do we see from that? John chapter 3 and verse 13. John chapter 3 and verse 13. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And he says in verse number 13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Now, you're going to have to think about that. While he was sitting across that desk or that table from Nicodemus that night, he was in heaven. Same time. That means that he is God. Now, he said, no man has ever went up to heaven. And I know we've got Jack in the Beanstalk. He had to go up to get the golden goose. That's all fantasy and fairy tale. No man has gone up to heaven to get salvation. Only he that came down from heaven brought it to us. So he that came down from heaven was the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ, which gives you a clear understanding of an angel that came down from heaven. And the angel, the word angel means messenger. That's what it means. He is a messenger. He came down from heaven. So we want to continue to look at this passage and see what we can see. Now, when was Satan bound? In John chapter 12, the book of John, and we've read you this scripture many times, but it comes up again in this particular lesson, and we're going to go back and look at it again. In John chapter 12, when was Satan bound? It's not my opinion. I didn't get this from Dr. Bottlestopper. I didn't get this from Bible college. I've never been to Bible college. I was called by the Holy Spirit into the ministry. I've been led by the Holy Spirit to give me my messages while I am in the ministry, and I'm still depending on God. I go before God and ask him, what would he have you to hear? And I ask him to give it to me that I may give it to you. And I give out everything God gives me, whether people like it or don't like it, whether it gets me in trouble or not, it doesn't matter. If God wants you to have it, I'm going to see to it, God willing, that you get it. So when was Satan bound? Jesus said in verse number 30 of John chapter 12, John chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus answered, this is Jesus talking, and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." What did the voice tell them? Number one, now is the judgment of this world. Dear soul, people are waiting to see the great judgment down at the end of the age. The world was judged at Calvary. Judgment means God reestablished the order that he would have it to have in the kingdom of God. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the kingdom, it is the spiritual kingdom of God. I'm not talking about churchanity. I'm talking about Christianity. I wish the church would be in rightful relationship with God according to the Holy Spirit, but it just ain't so. Now is the judgment of this world. Right then, 2,022 years ago, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said it was his now. That now back then, not our now. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." To bring the world back into order, there was the necessity to do one thing, cast out the prince of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. I'll bring the judgment of the world. I'll cast out the devil. And I'll bring all those that God would have to have salvation to be brought to me. In verse 33, when? This is very important. John 12, 33. This he said, signifying what? Death he should die. When was Satan cast out? When Jesus died on the cross. And I've told you and told you and told you, the modern church plays pays all too little attention to the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, they put it on the wall with a naked dead God on it. They wear it around the neck on a chain. But they don't know anything about the cross and what happened. Dear soul, it is done. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It is done. John 19:30. It satisfied God. He said, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. When at the cross, it was done. And in Revelation chapter 12, as we were stuttering and fumbling around trying to remember the name of that booklet that we wrote, it was entitled The Woman and the Dragon. Now, let's read that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. Now, you can't make any sense out of that without that John chapter 12 passage that we just read you, verses 31 through 33. It happened at the cross. When was Satan cast out? Get Jesus' words, not my words, not John the Baptist's words, not Martin Luther's words, not your pastor's words, not anybody else's opinion, but the words of Jesus Christ himself, who is the one that cast out Satan. You cast him out, right? When did you do it? At the cross. Listen. So Michael, in verse number 7 of Revelation 12, is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't receive that, just understand that he was in charge of the forces of the Lord Jesus Christ there in this war against the devil. When did this war take place? At the cross. Where did it take place? In heavenly places. Listen, and the dragon fought and his angels, Revelation 12:8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Jesus told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Where did he go to prepare the place? To the cross. And he said, if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Did he go and prepare the place? Yes. Did he go to Calvary? Yes. Did the devil destroy him? No. It was just the opposite. Through death, Christ destroyed the devil that had the power of death, that is the devil. Christ destroyed him. So this is a picture of the invisible realm of warfare that was going on at Calvary. All we see is the Romans and the death squad and the women that followed him and John and them weeping over him. And Joseph of Arimathea wanting his body to be. We see the physical side of this thing. This is the spiritual thing, that side of the thing that was going on in the spiritual realm. And the devil and his angels prevailed not. Jesus Christ, who is in you, is greater than he that's in the world, the devil. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. He got thrown out of heaven. He had been ruling and reigning as far as the spiritual realm was concerned in a spiritual way, and he stole the scepter from Adam. He caused Eve to sin and brought Adam down. And the devil stole the scepter, and he began to say, I will be like the Most High. And for 4,000 years, the world lay in darkness. One little nation, Israel, had God shine his light upon it, and the devil was free to deceive the nations. And that's what you have in the Old Testament. Listen. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Why did Jesus cast him out? That he should not deceive the nations anymore. It says in verse 3 of Revelation 20, that he should deceive the nations no more. Till the 1,000 years. Gonna let him go back and deceive the nations again after the church age, the glorious reign of the church of the 1,000 years. And here in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a great voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. In that John 12, 30, 31, 32, Jesus gave you two now. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Now is the judgment of this world. Here's another now. Now has come salvation. When was salvation set at the cross? It is finished. What did he mean by that? The payment has been made. The sacrifice has been accepted. The sacrifice has been given. The sacrifice was pure and holy and just and good. And it was received and accepted by God on behalf of all of God's elect. So he says, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. When did the kingdom of God start? At Calvary. When was Satan cast out? At Calvary. When was the judgment of the world? At Calvary. When was God satisfied? At Calvary. When did Jesus finish his work of atonement? At Calvary. We make too little of Calvary. We should make far more of it. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. When was Satan cast out? At the cross. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death, even as far as death. Why? Because now they're no longer dead in trespasses and sins, but they're dead with Christ and dead to sin and dead to the world. And they're setting their affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And he says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens. That ain't talking about birds flying in the sky. It ain't talking about stars and moon and sun and all that up there in the atmosphere. It's talking about in the spiritual realm. Now we can be rejoicing and happy. Why? Because God has completed salvation and Satan is cast out. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. That is, ye heavenlies, ye spiritual people, rejoice. And ye that dwell in them, who are those that dwell in them? Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The born again children of God are seated in heavenly places. Rejoice. Why? Because God has thrown the devil out of those heavenly places and given them to you. Also, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. What does that mean? People who may be religious but are not born again. People that are not religious and are not born again. Everybody that's unregenerate is of the earth and they're earthy. So Satan is cast out of the heavens and now he's able to be cast out and down to those who are earthy. You want to rule over people, Satan? Okay, rule over the unregenerate. Rule over the lost. Rule over the unbelievers. Rule over the scoffers and mockers and the haters of God. But you can't rule over anybody as far as the born-again children of God in the heavenlies anymore. God threw you out, excommunicated, cast you out. The landlord has said, you didn't pay your rent. Out you go. When did that happen? At the cross. And he said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. That made him mad. He was ruling over everything. I will be like the Most High. God grabbed him by the nape of the neck and said, no, you ain't, and threw him into the bottomless pit, chained him with a great chain, and locked him up. Now, there was a man that couldn't be bound by a great chain. He was in Mark chapter 5. I'm coming right back. Don't go away. Mark chapter 5, verse number 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The devil dwelled inside this man, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. There was a time when there was insufficient chains to bind the powers of Satan. But because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him. And dear soul, when the people began to see him, they found out that this man was clothed and in his right mind. God cast the demons out of him and let him go into the hogs. And even the hogs won't live with the devil. They committed suicide. So there was a time when chains couldn't bind Satan. But this is not that time. This is this time. This is the Calvary of God. This is the victorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tore the bars away. Up from the grave he arose. Death could not hold his prey. Dear soul, he rose a victor of the dark domain. What does that mean? He was victorious over the domain of the devil and sin and ungodliness and hell. Jesus Christ was victorious. When he said, "It is finished," he didn't say, "It is finished." He cried with a mighty voice, a conquering king, a conquering hero, "It is finished." I imagine Satan trembled at the reverberation of that sound going throughout the entire universe. God Almighty, the mighty conqueror, Jesus Christ, came and said, "It's finished." Excuse me. "Too late, devil. If the princes of this world had known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. But they did, and they didn't understand it. It's like a man fishing for a shark, and he puts a big old huge hook inside of a piece of bloody meat and throws it in the water. And the shark can't see the hook. All he sees is that juicy piece of bloody meat, and he comes swimming to it with all speed and jumps down. Uh-oh. And the devil came after Jesus Christ and said, "I got him now." I couldn't get him in Matthew 4 at the temptation. He overcame me and I had to leave him. But I got him now. Why? Because his Father hath forsaken him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And bowing his head, he gave up the ghost. He didn't want to live because the Father had forsaken him. He had the power to lay down his life. He had the power to take it up again. No man taketh my life from him. Then why did he die? If nobody could kill him, if nobody could take his life, what made him lay down his life? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And the devil said, "I got him." But there was a hook that pierced the jaw of that ungodly shark, Satan. And God, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The binding of Satan, the power and authority of it, took place at Calvary. For the devil is come down to the earth having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. From Calvary until the time that the devil and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And do not get the lake of fire confused with the bottomless pit. They're not the same thing. The bottomless pit has a key. And Jesus Christ has the key. He has the key of David. He can lock and no man can open it. He can unlock and no man can shut it. And he had the key to the bottomless pit. It wasn't given unto him, as it says in one place in the book of Revelation. He had the key. And he puts the devil into the bottomless pit, but temporarily for 1,000 years, and for one purpose only, that he should not go forth and deceive the nations anymore. Until the 1,000 years were over, and when the church age is over with, and when evangelism has fulfilled its purpose, then the devil will be loosed. Listen at Revelation 12. No, 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God, that's the gospel being preached, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared unto his servants the prophets. So there's coming a time when the mystery of God will be finished. And then in Revelation 11:7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, who? The two witnesses. Who are the two witnesses? Read your Bible. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Who does that say are the two witnesses? The church and the Holy Spirit. And when the church and the Holy Spirit have finished their work on earth, and when they have finished their testimony, again in Revelation 11:7, as same as in Revelation 10:7, then the beast is able to ascend out of the bottomless pit. Revelation 11:7. When the two witnesses, the church and the Holy Spirit, have been recalled, then the devil can be loosed out of the bottomless pit to do what? Go forth and deceive the nations again. And what does he do? He gathers up Gog and Magog, all the evangelized but unregenerate masses upon the earth, to come against the church of God. And they are the tares that are gathered together to be burned all in one pile. And they come against the true church of God. And soon as they go after Christ's bride in that particular time, Christ shall appear and shall destroy them with the brightness of his coming, and shall destroy them by the word of his mouth. Oh, dear soul, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has worked out his purpose and his plan that he gave us to John 2,000 years ago, and here it is being acted out in our day and age. So we see, dear soul, that he has bound Satan. It is Christ that bound him. It was a great chain. No chains had been able to bind Satan before this. Men had tried to bind that man. It couldn't work. Jesus comes with a great chain to bind his master Satan, and he looses this poor man and casts out all the demons that were in him. Thank God for Jesus Christ. And so we see, dear soul, that Satan is bound for a particular time and for a particular purpose, and then he's loosed to go forth and to deceive the nations again. What shall it be like in the world during the little season? What was it like before Calvary? What was it like living under Nebuchadnezzar and Julius Caesar and Alexander the Great and Darius the Mede? What was it like living under those despots? What was it like living under those men who wanted to rule the world for their own glory? That's what it's going to be like. The devil will be set forth to be able to deceive the nations again and draw everybody back unto an ungodliness separate from the Lord's people. And let me read you Isaiah 28 again. The book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verses 20 and 21. We read you this quite often, but it goes with this lesson. Isaiah 28, and I'm going to mess up, aren't I? My goodness, I have read this so many times now, I've done messed up on what... It's the last two verses. Come out of her, my people. That's not it. That's in the book of Revelation. that you be not partaker of her plagues, Revelation 18:4. But this says, come into thy little chambers and hide thyself, but for a moment, for the Lord comes out of his place to judge the world. It's the last two verses of a chapter in the book of Isaiah. And the Lord is good to do this and hide these things from me and cause me confusion of face and cause me confusion of mind. And that way you know that it has to be the Holy Spirit, that guy standing up there, he ain't got enough sense to even remember where the verses are. But that's okay. You can look it up and you can find it, and I have quoted it to you many, many times. And as soon as I leave this building, I will remember it again and understand exactly where it is. It'll be all right. You'll have those verses. It says, come into thy little chambers and hide thyself, for the Lord cometh out of his place to judge the earth. And that's what it's all about. So the Lord will bring us into a place of peace and safety and quietness and resolve, that God may take care of us during that little season. And don't let people tell you, we're going to be raptured out, we're not going to have any trouble. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Does that sound like God's going to excuse us from problems? No. God's going to show us how he can keep us through those problems and keep us in those problems. That's the way that it is. Now, we promised you that we would try to help you in knowing that even in the 1,000 years, the devil is loosed. He's just in a prison. And 1 Peter 5:8, he says, he walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour. James 4:7. What do I do to stand up against the devil as, you know, during the age that he has tempted men on earth, even though he may be bound as far as tempted the nations? He says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, number one. Secondly, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves unto God. Don't give your attention to demons and demonology. Don't give your attention exclusively to the devil. Yes, we're studying about him today, but only from a viewpoint of what God says, to show you the absolute sovereignty of Jesus Christ and his glory over the devil. So how do we resist the devil? Look at Ephesians 6. The book of Ephesians 6. You say, boy, I don't think the devil's is bound, because he's been aggravating me all this week. I understand that. He walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. What is the armor of God? It's putting on Christ. It's being a Christian. It is studying the Bible and finding out what God wants us to do and crying out for the Holy Spirit to help us to accomplish that. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceits, the tricks of the devil. That's the reason you have the armor of God. And listen, it's a wrestling match, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what you're up against. But dear soul, understand and know this, that our heavenly husband defeated the devil in such a powerful way that he goes back to heaven and hands us the sword of the Spirit and sends it to his bride and says, I've defeated him so powerfully, now you can take care of him. Now you can handle it. Do you think a man who loves his wife like Christ loved the church would turn her over to fight the devil herself if he hadn't already made provision for the destruction of the devil through you and by you. Here, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Resist the devil and put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we stand against the rulers of the darkness of this world, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You can stand against the wiles of the devil. Flee to Christ. The minute the devil comes after you, run behind Jesus. Get behind him and cry out to God, Lord, he's after me. He knows how to punch my buttons. He knows how to make me have wicked and evil thoughts that I don't want. My flesh enjoys those lustful things, but I don't want to have them. But he interjects them on me. How do I get rid of? Flee to Christ, resist the devil. Listen. And cause, what did we just say? James chapter 4 and verse number 7. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? By submitting yourselves unto God. You say, well, I can't go to God with those filthy thoughts in my head. Did you want those filthy thoughts? No, they were just injected in my head. Did the man who was in the hog pen go directly to the Father's arms with the smell of the hogs on him? Yes. Did the Father receive him? Yes. What did the Father do? Cleaned him up, gave him a new robe, put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his finger. My son was dead, now he's alive. God rejoices in you coming to him. You come just as I am without one plea. Come, dear soul, but whatever you do, come. Don't let the devil separate you from the wonderful redemptive works of Jesus Christ in cleansing you and washing you with water by the word of God. If the devil can keep you away from Christ, he's got you. And you will be a miserable soul for many days as long as you say, well, I'm not worthy to come to Christ. Whoever said you was, the Bible said you're not. The Bible said I'm not. The Bible said the only worthy one was Jesus Christ. Come just like you are. Come without one plea. Come but that his blood was shed for you. Submit yourselves unto God. Number one. Number two, resist the devil. You can't resist the devil without submitting yourselves unto God. Listen. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You say, I'm wobbly at the knee. Get your truth, get your Bible, get your sword. Go and listen to a good gospel message. Go and get before God in prayer and cry out to God. Give God's word back to him and say, Lord, you promised you'd prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I need it. God said, good, I'm glad you came. I was waiting on you. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. By grace are you saved through faith, and that grace and that faith is not of yourselves. They are the gift of God. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Use your faith. Believe God. Hold up that shield of faith, and it'll quench all those fiery darts that Satan is shooting at you and trying to put wicked and ungodly thoughts and motives in your heart. Tell the devil, I'm not going to have this. Jesus paid my debt and caused me to be able to stand before God. And Jesus told me in Zechariah chapter, 3 and verse number 7, I'm going to prepare you a place to walk among these that stand by. And you'll be able to walk in the presence of God and against the powers of the darkness. It's your heritage. Claim it. Believe it. Walk in it. Test God out. prove the Lord and see that he is good. Taste in him of him and see that he is good. So we want to see this all in Revelation 20. How long shall Satan be bound? It said, he said, shall seal him up for 1,000 years, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a season. And then in verse 7 of Revelation 20, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. You can have liberty in a prison. You can write letters to people on the outside. You can go and attend your parents' funerals. You can get out for those reasons. Listen. And loose out of prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations. That's what he was doing before Christ bound him up. And Christ bound him up to stop him from doing that at the cross, so that the disciples could go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and everywhere the gospel went, it drove Satan out of the way. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So we see that that's what God did. But we read you in Revelation 10:7 and Revelation 11:7 that the gospel is going to have to be withdrawn, which it looks like it has been, that has been the case in this world today, because our nation doesn't seem to have any hunger or desire at all, or any really expression of the true gospel. We got churchianity, but we don't have no Christianity. We got little theories, and we got all kinds of tradition, but the power of God, like it was at Pentecost, is not among us anymore. But dear soul, it doesn't mean God has left you, that God is not going to take care of you. He is going to take care of you. He will make sure that everything is okay, and God's going to see after you all the days of your life. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is good to us. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's what he said. And I'm still looking for that passage in Isaiah. I thought it was 28. Maybe it's 38. Nope.
26:20.
Say it again.
26:20.
Thank you. Give that brother a gold eagle. 26:20 and 21. Thank you, Brother Mike. Listen. Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people. Nobody else. Not talking about the unevangelized masses. Just talking about God's born-again people. Come, my people. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, like in the little season, until the indignation be overpassed. Why should you come into your little chambers and shut your doors? Because in verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place. You need to come into your place during the time of the little season. God's going to come out of his place to judge, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth from the ground. I'm going to set the record straight. There are not going to be any unsolved crimes. Everybody that killed anybody, every murder will be solved. Every theft will be made known. Everything that everybody's done in lying against my people, I'm going to make sure that it's manifest. I'm going to take care of you. And it is, dear soul, during the time of the little season, God is going to take care of us. I think that's all that the Lord would have us to say. There's so much more that could be brought, and these are glorious verses. And I just love the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. I hope that I have not confused you or been misguiding you in the way that I presented this. I trust and pray that God will help you understand and see these things. And if we can find those booklets on the woman and the dragon, we'll be glad to send them to you and give them to you freely. And we trust that you will help pray for us as we pray for you that the gospel would go forth with power. Pray for Brother Mike as he comes to bring you his lesson for today, for this week. May the Lord bless you. We thank the Lord for his goodness to us and pray that God would be glorified thereby. In Jesus' name.